yeah. Almost 4 o'clock here on the Fan, Evan and Tiki on this Tuesday. Yankees won last night. The Mets won last night by about 3.5 feet. But they did win last night. Unfortunately, the New York Jets opened up the season in San Francisco. The positive is Aaron Rodgers played, you know, most of the game until they took him out. The negative was this defense got absolutely destroyed by the San Francisco 49ers, and they're 0-1. And joining us right now, and he'll join us every day after the Jets play. So it's mostly Mondays at 4 o'clock, but they played a Monday night game. So in this case, it's Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Is the great, the legendary, my longtime partner, Joe Beningo, and his call-in is brought to you by Empire City Casino. Winners play here. By approved oil, lock in your low oil rate at freezetherate.com, and by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. Bro, how are you?
Well, thank God for our baseball team. Let me start with that.
That's the first thing I said, Joe.
Who knew that on September 10th, right now, the baseball team would be a bigger deal than a football team? Can you imagine that that's actually what's happening?
Stunning.
Thank God. Stunning. Thank God for that.
How did you watch last night, by the way? Because like, I was DVRing it. I know you don't do that. Were you flipping back and forth? How'd you handle it?
Yeah, between the commercials, I was going back. I mean, I watched the game up until the start of the Jet game. And then, you know, between the many, many commercials, I was able to see a lot of what was going on. And it was halftime when I got to see the ninth inning and Diaz close it out. So, you know, I got to see the game end before without missing anything because of halftime. So that was good.
Well, did the excitement of the Mets overcome the disappointment for the Jets?
Well, I think the thing with the Jets, look, I mean, you knew this was going to be a tough spot for them. There's no doubt about that. I mean, this Niner team is for real. You know, there's a reason they were in the Super Bowl last year, and, you know, their mission is to win, and obviously we know the deal.
Right.
And even with McCaffrey, that really didn't matter. I mean, to me, when I heard McCaffrey was out, I'm like, you know, maybe he's, who knows? You know, he just got married to, what's that girl he's married to? That hot girl? I forget her name.
Yeah, I can see her, but I can't remember.
You know, you know
is it Kupo?
Kupo. Right, yeah. Exactly.
I'm all over this.
Olivia,
so maybe you know, maybe he had a little hangover from her. I mean, who knows? But whatever the case may be, that didn't mean anything to me. Look, here's the bottom line, okay? And I've said this, and I've been saying this. Ev, you know I've been saying this for a while. This defense is overrated. I'm tired of hearing about how good the defense is. They never force turnovers. They don't get to the quarterback. They can't stop the run. How is this defense so great? Tell me. I mean, they got gouged in this game. We could talk about the mistakes on the offense. Lazard drops his sure first down pass on the first series of the game. You know, Breece fumbles to set up a field goal for them. You know, later on in the game, Garrett Wilson, when he's got all kinds of room to get both feet down, doesn't do it. It costs him a first down, and who knows, they were down 13 at the time. You know, Aaron threw a pick, although I thought he looked pretty good.
He was fine.
I thought the one positive you take is that the quarterback looked pretty good. Now, they never had the ball, okay? It was unbelievable. I mean, I don't know what the final numbers were, but I know at one point it was 35-15 in minutes for San Francisco. But this defense, bro, I mean, let's tell it like it is. I mean, they stunk yesterday. They got destroyed. And I know the Niners are tremendous, but you got to be mate. Where's Will McDonald? The only time I saw Jermaine Johnson was when he did an illegal hands to the face that cost him getting off the field on third down, right? Quinton Williams maybe made one play. I don't even remember. Solomon Thomas one time had Brock Purdy for an easy sack, let him go, and Purdy hit somebody for a first down. There were guys open, all wide open everywhere. Kittle, Samuel, Jennings, and this kid Mason looked like Jim Brown. So, I mean, the defense was terrible. I mean, what's going on with this defense,
well,
bro?
I think part of it, Joe, is that the 49ers are just that good.
I get that.
They have a good offensive line. And more importantly, the scheme is masterful, right? When you watch it, they're just creating space. Like, there's always space. And
always.
On the other side, the Jets' offensive line was terrible in the run game. There was nowhere for Breece to go. I felt bad for him because you could see him, like, visually getting frustrated because there was no big plays. There was no opportunities for him to be him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, look, I thought the offensive line did a good job in pass blocking. I thought for the most part they gave Rodgers decent protection. And like I said, I mean, the one positive you have to take out of this is that he looked good. I mean, that's it. But, look, it's week one. You know, I don't want to get too crazy week one. We knew this was going to be a difficult game and all of that. I mean, I didn't think the defense was going to get gouged like it did.
Right, that's the problem, bro.
Right.
Like, yes,
of course.
We all knew it was going to be difficult. It was likelier than not that they were going to lose this game. But for this defense to let Jordan Mason look like, as you said, Jim Brown. For Brandon Ayuk, who should have caught that touchdown in the end zone that he was diving for, were wide open all day. And like, I thought the defense last year was really good. Like, they had periods of time where they didn't force turnovers. But think about week one against Buffalo. They forced four turnovers against the great Josh Allen.
Three picks.
Part of that was Josh Allen, though.
That's fine. Right. Part of it's Josh Allen.
To be a hero.
But I thought, like, they were a big-time defense last year. What, this mess that we saw last night, they didn't look anywhere close to a big-time defense.
Yeah, and you got this Hassan Reddick thing hanging over their head, which is just a disaster. I mean, how did they allow this to happen? Now, Teak, let me ask you, how did they allow this to happen, Douglas, that this guy didn't have a contract
He is under contract. That's
okay.
The problem.
But I think
they didn't understand how badly he wanted a new contract. Now, this is where I give Howie Roseman so much credit, because he knew that, right? Obviously, it's why they didn't want to sign him. They didn't want him. Now, the Eagles are in a different financial situation because they've robbed Peter to pay Paul so many times that they couldn't afford to keep him. But they knew how disgruntled he was. They obviously didn't communicate that to Joe Douglas. And so when he gets here, he sounds the part, right? Can't wait to be here. You never see him again, because now all of a sudden he cares about his contract more than he cares about being a Jet.
Yeah, well, there's no question about it. And what makes it worse is they let Bryce Huff walk away. They never. Mm-hmm. This is a kid that they developed, right? Their own guy, and they never. To me, I don't think they ever even intended to sign this guy.
No.
Or even tried to sign him.
No,
and that made no sense either.
Well, and also,
and now he's on the Eagles, of course.
And also, they gave away. I know he wasn't amazing, John Franklin Myers. He would always commit the bad penalty.
They gave him away. Yep,
they lost Jefferson, who had 6 sacks last year. Like.
Yep.
They lost a lot on this defensive line, and you watch who was out there last night. Javon Kinlaw stinks.
Yep.
Michael Clemens isn't that good. And then you got a bunch of guys who probably should be on the practice squad, like Braden McGregor. And you mentioned Will McDonald, first-round pick. I mean, start playing like one, which he hasn't done yet.
Please, can you get Gastineau's number away from this guy? What a disgrace that this guy is wearing Mark Gastineau's number, who should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't want to get into that, but that's a disaster. Please, you can't wear 99. The only defensive guy that I thought had anything last night was Quincy Williams.
Always does,
Who is the best player on the defense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a source. Let me ask you this. Speaking of, why was he out of the game if he wasn't hurt for like 8 or 9 plays?
No, he had to be hurt. They just don't want to say he's hurt, because it creates a disadvantage for them.
Right, I understand.
You know what I mean?
Right,
if Kyle Shanahan knows that the cornerback is compromised, and guess what? They're running over there and they're throwing over there. So I think that's really what it came
down. Yeah, because after the game, Joe, Saleh said he was tired. He needed a break.
Catch his wind.
Yeah, he said that was the quote. He needed
to
catch his wind.
How old is he, 22? I mean, what are you, tired?
I know.
And are you 40 yet? You're not tired. tired.
I hit the century
I'm
next
71.
Year.
I'm 71. I'm tired.
Well, you're tired of this crap? You're tired of watching bad football?
Oh, my God. It's just – and let's be honest about this, too, okay? This game coming up Sunday is monstrous.
Oh, yes.
They go 0-2 losing to the Tennessee Titans. You know, and all of a sudden, the roof is going to start caving in. Let's be real about it.
Well, I think it's more than just even Sunday. I mean, you're obviously right. They can't be 0-2 going into Thursday night. But you look at who they're about to play.
Yeah.
Tennessee. I know New England's 1-0. Let's see more from
them.
What
a shock, huh?
Yeah. And you look at Minnesota a few weeks after that. Yeah. Denver. Like,
Denver.
They've got teams on their schedule that they got to beat.
Yeah.
They got to be 3-1 by the time they go to London to play the Vikings. That's where we're at right now. Right?
I agree.
And the whole division wins, of course. The Patriots win. I tell you, I'm already scared of them. I'm already scared.
Really?
You know why? I'll tell you why. Because their defense takes the ball away.
Yeah.
The biggest play in this game the other day, I forget who it was. By the way, Cincinnati, give me a break. Can they show up? But whoever it was going into the end zone for a touchdown, and Kyle Duggan knocks the ball out of his hands. How big a play is that? Can I see the Jets do that?
Right, that's awareness. That's like above the X's and O awareness.
That's right.
That's playing DeBrees' comment harder.
And look, New England is playing at home against Seattle on Sunday. You know,
and they're underdogs.
There's a chance they go in a Thursday night against us 2-0.
No question.
After all that.
Of course. right, look, like I said, the one positive you take away is that Rodgers looked good. He did. I got to say, threw the ball well. He had that one pick. I understand the one pick he threw. He kind of forced it. He had a little pressure there, too. He kind of forced it into double coverage. But that drive for the touchdown where he hit Garrett Wilson three times on third down, on third and longs. I mean, that's the one thing. I look at that and I say, when the hell was the last time I saw that happen?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I mean, that was so un-Jet-like, it was unbelievable. And, you know, I mean, a nice touchdown pass. He did his usual thing where he drew them offside. He got a free play. He hits Lazard for the touchdown. And that was nice and all of that. But
the drive you described where he converted on the three third downs to Garrett Wilson, eventually it was Breece Hall, got in the end zone.
Yeah.
That was one of just the best, like, Jet.
When
just
have we seen that?
Never. Mm-hmm. Right. Never. I mean, maybe since Ryan Fitzpatrick had that miracle season before he choked it in week 17 in Buffalo. Yeah.
Right. 2015.
That was probably the highlight of the game, just getting to see that and thinking, wow, that could become normal in our football watching on Sundays.
Yeah.
Seeing kind of approach.
Well, the one sequence, though, that really ticked me off more than any other, and it probably wouldn't have mattered anyway in the outcome, you know, they're down 13. Breece Hall has that run where it looks like he got the first down, and to me, they should have challenged it, but they didn't challenge it. Okay, but he doesn't get the first down. Now it's second and one, and that play with Garrett Wilson where he's got that slant over the middle, and he's got all kinds of room, and somehow he gets his toe out of bounds. And now it's third and one. They stop Breece, fourth and one, incomplete. I mean, I've seen that too many times.
Yeah.
I got to tell you.
That cannot happen. I don't know if you felt this way. They drafted this Braylon Allen. He's a big-bodied running back.
Let me see him play.
Let's see him.
Yeah. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Let me see him play. I
think that was a trust, just a young player in a big game on the road against the defending NFC champs. You just didn't trust him.
Where was Mike Williams?
Not fair to him. He played, but he just didn't. I mean, was he targeted?
I think he was out there for like eight snaps. Like they really kept him. Yeah, they just there because he's coming off of the injury.
Yeah,
I get it.
But like Tiki said this earlier, he's kind of right. After Garrett Wilson, right now, until someone steps up, they don't exactly have. I know Lazard was okay, but he did have that huge drop on the first possession.
Set the tone for the game,
And he had a bad season a year ago, so he's trying to make up for what the expectation was a year ago. Now, obviously, the touchdown helps, but that's more Aaron Rodgers, right? They described it perfectly on the broadcast. When you get a free play like that, just throw it to your vertical. Whoever's going vertical, throw it to him. No matter what happens, it's a free play.
Right.
So you might as well try to score on it.
Right. And they got I know you also scored the garbage time touchdown from Tyrod Taylor, too.
What did you think?
The fantasy people had a good week.
Yeah, right.
If anybody had him, I don't know.
I doubt it. I don't know if anybody would pick him up.
Right,
did you think? Because, look, I'm like you. We're hanging in there to the end watching all this crap.
Yeah.
Taking Rodgers out, but keeping Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall in.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Now, he did eventually take Breece out because they brought Allen in the game.
They did
bring Allen in the game. But, that didn't make any sense either. I mean, the game was over. I mean, let's be honest about it. So, that made no sense to me. I'm trying to look at this rationally, okay? It's week one against maybe the toughest team they're going to play all year. I mean, you could make that case. This might be the best team on their schedule. There's no doubt about it. You know, and I'm just trying to rationalize it that way. But now you got to go out. You have to win these next three games, in my mind. You really do. And you certainly got to win this week because, boy, oh, boy, if they lose, here we go.
No, we'll panic at that point. I think, because I was disgusted last night, I think most of us are, just based on the performance, not that the season's over or anything like that.
Of course.
You don't want to see a team lose. We waited, we had all these months for football. There's only 17 games.
Right.
But if they lost to Tennessee next Sunday, or this Sunday now, then I think we'd all be in full panic mode. Yeah, then it would be like, what the hell is going on here?
By the way, do you think, don't take this wrong, Coach, but do you think that after the game, Shanahan put his arm around Robert Saleh and said to him, don't worry, Coach, they fire you after the year. You're my defensive coordinator.
He may have said that.
You think Shanahan said that to him? What do you think?
You always got a job here, Coach. Don't worry, Rob. We'll take care of you.
We got you covered.
Right.
You know?
We like this Sorensen guy, but we'll take you back.
Yeah, right. Right.
Well, overall, because I know during the offseason you have had a healthy skepticism about this team, and I understand it.
Well, it's 56 years of not getting it done.
Totally.
That's really what it comes down to.
Right now, do you think we're going to see a playoff here? Do you think we're going to see this team make a run? Like, what's your honest feeling? You know, we're 1 week in, but it's only one game. What's your honest feeling on what we're actually going to witness?
I mean, if the defense is going to play like they played yesterday, they're no playoff team. I'll tell you that. Right. I mean, this defense has got to put they should be embarrassed. Especially with, you know, with all the hoopla that surrounds them. I mean, you know, you got to come out snarling. I got to see something this week. I mean, they're playing well. Will Levis is the quarterback.
Yeah.
They just blew the game to the Bears last week. So, you know, I mean, right now you look at that defense. I can't say they're a playoff team if they're going to play like that. That's for sure.
No, you're absolutely right. The defense has really got to be the calling card.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers is going to be Aaron Rodgers.
As long as he's healthy.
Right.
If he stays healthy,
just be healthy,
he'll be fine.
Just be healthy.
Yes.
But they opposing offenses need to fear what the Jets' defense is going to do to you. And last year, even though they weren't a good team, opposing offenses feared their defense. You don't fear it right now after week one.
No.
But
no,
again, Joe, this is week one.
Yeah, and no, I get it.
Just like Daniel Jones. If they're laying egg next week, then I'm going to be worried. Daniel Jones lays an egg next week, I'm really going
to
be worried.
Well, one thing that I think, too, that you have to take into account is that, you know, with the way it is now as far as preseason football and all of that, this is basically an extended training camp game.
Mm.
That's what it is, right or wrong.
I said the same thing.
It's like a preseason game,
I said the same thing.
Really.
The Giants definitely look like they were playing in the preseason. Jets defensively look like they were playing in the preseason.
Yep.
We're talking to the great Joe Benengo. Now, Joe, the Mets have gotten us the football season, okay?
This is one of the most, I got to say this, and I don't know how it's going to play out. Right now, I think they're going to make it in the playoffs. I really do. There's something going on with them. This has been one of the most fun years I can ever remember as a Met fan. Because, first of all, I was down on Stearns and Stevie Cohen at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
And boy, was I wrong. I mean, every move Stearns has made has turned to gold, especially the manager, who I love this guy. Mm. I mean, how did the Yankees keep Boone and let Mendoza? Let me ask you that question. But nevertheless, Mendoza has been phenomenal. When this team was 11 games under 500, we're all thinking they're backing up the truck. They're going to trade Pete at the deadline. All of this, and to see where they are now, that they are now, 24 games over 500 since the end of May. They got the best record in baseball. You know, and how about the pitching, bro?
Tyler
McGill last night.
Yeah.
Did somebody test his saliva?
It's amazing. They're pitching during this win streak that they've
been
on.
Crazy. Yes.
That's what's carried them, because their offense has actually been very inconsistent.
Bro, let me tell you right now, this is the Met offense every game. First five innings, they don't get a hit. Okay, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And they strike out. Oh, God. If I got to see, you know, Alonso or Alvarez or even J.D. Martinez swinging another pitch 30 freaking feet outside, I mean, you got to be kidding. They strike out constantly. They don't get a hit for five innings. Then all of a sudden, they find a way to win a baseball game.
Scratch out a couple.
Right, and it's basically because of the starting pitching.
Yeah.
And I know the bullpen didn't, you know, kind of gave it up last night. I get that, okay? But the bullpen has actually been pretty good, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I know Maton gave it up in that game against Cincinnati, but the bullpen has actually been pretty good. I'm confident in Diaz. I think Diaz is back. You know, he's been very good. Well, he almost gave up the two-run homer at the end of the game.
Yeah.
You know, I got a little nervous when that ball left the bat, I got to say. You know, but Diaz has actually been pretty good. And there's a feeling with this team right now that, you know, they got something going.
They really do. Like this magic to them, and they've been great in September, but they got to make the playoffs.
Got to
make
the playoffs now. Yes,
as fun as it's been, as surprising as it's been, especially after the horrible start, like they got to make that series in Atlanta. That's their chance to rectify the ills of 2 years ago.
Well,
beat that brave team.
It might not even be them. I mean, right now they're one game in the loss column out of the first wild card.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, but I think what Evan's saying is that at the end of the season, they got to play they got to play the Braves.
Yeah. They got seven tough games coming up with Philadelphia, too. You know, I mean, you still got two games here with Toronto, but, you know, seven games with the Phillies that are not going to be easy, you know?
No question. They've had the toughest schedule amongst all these wild card contenders, but they keep winning. Mm-hmm. They keep doing a great job, and hopefully they'll keep it up tonight against the Blue Jays.
Lindor's been great.
Is he the MVP, by the way?
He'll never get it because they're going to give it to Ohtani.
I mean, Ohtani's ridiculous. I mean, the numbers are stupid.
The only thing I'll say, Teak, about that, and look, the numbers are ridiculous, but let's remember this. Ohtani's a DH. This guy, Francisco Lindor, okay, he plays every inning of every game at the second toughest defensive position there is in baseball. Catcher's got to be number one. He plays it brilliantly. I mean, that's the one thing, and we kind of lose sight of that. You know, and Alonso, too, these guys play every day.
There's a value to that.
162 games this year.
My one worry about Lindor, and we've seen this over the last few days, he is struggling offensively. Yep. And you wonder.
Yeah, a little bit right now after he was red hot.
Yeah, you wonder if playing every day and everything he's done is going to wear him down. And you know what? He has an excuse to wear down. That means time for Pete Alonso to pick it up.
Right.
Time for Brandon Nimmo to pick it up. Time for J.D. Martinez, who has over the last few days since the birth of his kid, to pick it up. Because I don't think you could expect Lindor to keep it at that pace, but now you need the other guys to pick up the offensive load over the next few weeks.
Be nice if Alvarez could ever hit a home run.
Him too!
I mean, what happened to this guy? How about Vientos, though, bro? Nobody saw Mark Vientos turning into a star this year. I mean, who saw that coming?
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's been incredible.
He wanted him to hit second.
that was after
you don't
he started
want him
hitting
second?
No, I wanted him hitting second.
He wanted him to. When he moved him up there, that's when he started crushing it.
Yeah. And how big a factor has Jose Iglesias been? I mean, not only is, you know, him and Lindor up the middle,
he's absolutely necessary with McNeil down.
With McNeil out. But, I mean, he's been phenomenal. I mean,
he's been great. You know,
the whole OMG thing. I mean, he's their best hitter with runners in scoring position.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's who I want up there.
It's funny. Lugie and I were talking about this off air. We said, all right, big spot in the game. Right. Who's the number one guy you went up there? And I said, I think I'd take Iglesias even over Lindor.
Interesting.
Think about that at-bat Ian Pitt had it against the Pirates about 2 months ago. I don't know if anyone remembers this against Chapman where he drew that walk. Like, he'll give you these insane at-bats, and his clutch numbers have been awesome. So hopefully they can keep it up.
Yeah. And one other thing, too, David Peterson. Who saw this coming?
That's another one. Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden, David Peterson is a Sandy Koufax.
It's true.
What are they, 15-3 when he starts? Is he under his ERA is under 3? Sean Manaea has been ridiculous. I mean, it's just, I mean,
right at the right time, anything can happen. That's all that matters.
And look, Teak, I'm with you 100%. And again, the one award that should go to a Met is Carlos Mendoza, Manager of the Year. This guy, boy, did David Stearns hit the jackpot with this guy. And it's rare that I get excited about a manager like this, bro.
No, I know.
This manager is the real deal. And again, I'll say it. How the hell did the Yankees let him get away?
Joe, great talking to you, man. We'll talk to you Monday at 4 o'clock. Enjoy the debate tonight.
I'll be all over that, bro.
Yes, indeed.
Big night for Big Don. I'll see you guys.
See you later, man. The great Joe Beningo. So after the Jets play. So Jets played on a Monday night. He joins us Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Jets will play on Sunday. He'll join us on a Monday at 4 o'clock. In a few weeks, they play on a Thursday, the Thursday night home opener against the New England Patriots. He'll join us Friday at 4 o'clock. So it's honestly really not that complicated. But I will tell you something that is complicated. A football question that my son asked me this morning that may cause Tiki Barber to cry.
Uh-oh.
We'll get to it coming up, plus more of your phone calls at 888-808-1019. But before all of that, what is Aaron Boone going to do tonight? He's got Jason Dominguez. He needs to play every day. You've got a red-hot Alex Verdugo. One of them is not in the lineup tonight. We'll tell you who it is next. While the Jets were losing last night, the New York Yankees were winning. The New York Mets were winning. The Yankees came back on the Kansas City Royals. Alex Verdugo, clearly inspired by Jason Dominguez being called up at a home run. Yankees won last night. Mets won last night. They're both back in action tonight. Game 2, Yankees-Royals game. You'll hear right here on the Fan, Game 2 of the Met-Blue Jays series. And we will let you know, because I still don't know the answer. Sean's going to tell all of us who Boone went with in the lineup tonight. Did he go Dominguez? Did he go Verdugo? But first, your baseball IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. The New York Mets are having a great month of September. They are 7-1 at last track.
Wow.
Which month do the Mets have their best record all time? So highest winning percentage. What month on the calendar do the Mets have their best record all time? We will take caller number 7 at 866-540-7000. WFAN, 866-540-9326 to answer the Baseball IQ trivia question. And you could win a $250 American Express gift card. Your Baseball IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyric. Let's get to the Yankees. They are facing old friend Seth Lugo. Jason Dominguez needs to play every day, but Alex Verdugo is hot. What's the answer, Sean?
All right, the Yankees starting lineups are brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. The Yankees lineup tonight against the Royals, leading off Gleyber Torres at second base, batting second, Juan Soto in right field, batting third, Aaron Judge in center field. Cleaning up is Austin Wells catching, batting fifth is Giancarlo Stanton DHing, batting sixth, Jazz Chisholm Jr. at third base. Batting seventh is Jason Dominguez in left field. Batting eighth is Anthony Rizzo, the first baseman. And batting ninth is Anthony Volpe back in short. So I don't know if you want to dissect that first or me give you some quotes after from Aaron.
Let's hear some quotes and then we'll offer our view on this. Verdugo sitting after hitting a home run. Dominguez in the lineup again.
And been relatively hot his last 15 or so games.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So this, I'm getting this off Max Goodman's Twitter. When asked about Alex Verdugo's role on team, Aaron Boone called his role, quote, fluid. Boone added that he had a conversation with Verdugo about Dominguez being called up and acknowledged that the prospect's promotion impacts Verdugo directly.
Wow.
Which is putting it lightly. And then just one step further, when asked about DJ LeMahieu returning this year, Boone said, quote, wouldn't count on it. And going forward, Oswaldo Cabrera is the Yankees' backup first baseman behind DJ LeMahieu.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, the DJ thing is not a surprise. Unfortunately, I don't know if we're ever going to see DJ LeMahieu as a Yankee again.
No.
Like, I could see the Yankees kind of buying him out and getting rid of him at this point, because he does feel, and I hate to say this about a human being who's a competitor, but he sounds like damaged goods from a baseball perspective.
Well, and just old.
Yes.
Just over the hill. It happens, man. Every guy hits that wall at some point. You're not able to do it any longer. And it's not any disrespect on his career. It just happens.
When
you play long enough, it just happens.
No doubt. It was a bad contract. I mean, Brian Cashman re-signing him. We all wanted the Yankees to re-sign DJ LeMahieu, so I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking this. I wanted them to. But that contract is looking like an all-time bad one. With that said, my reaction to the Dominguez-Verdugo thing is, I like it, but I'm confused. That's how I'd phrase it.
Why? Because you started to like Verdugo?
No, I think that there were moments over the last few weeks where you could have made this move. Where you could have said Alex Verdugo is the single worst left fielder in baseball, which he's been statistically, and I'm going to call up a guy in Jason Dominguez who's now healthy, who produced a little bit last year before he got hurt, and I'm going to give him that opportunity to play. To do it right now, while Alex Verdugo, and I'll give you the exact numbers because you said he's been hot recently.
Right.
You're right. He's 18 for his last 54. That's over 15 games. He's gotten on base in 14 out of those 15 games. He had a home run yesterday. He's producing over the last 15 games. Those are just, again, these are facts. He sucked for a long period of time. He's been good over the last 2 weeks. For the moment of the benching to occur now is odd.
Yeah.
That's my view on it. Like, I love that Dominguez is here. He should have been here weeks ago. I'm glad he is here. I'm glad he's here because he has a bigger upside than Alex Verdugo. So I'm not against it. It's just so weird to me that the Yankees pick this moment while Verdugo's playing some of his best baseball since April to say, "Yeah, you benched."
Yeah, it's almost like they hope that by not playing, he freezes this hot streak, and then when he does play, it comes back because you're testing Jason Dominguez and whether or not he can be an everyday player. Now, obviously, Sean was right that what Brian Cashman said regarding Jason Dominguez was going to hold true, that if he comes up, he's going to play every day.
Yes.
And I think that's smart with 17 games or 18 games to go. You need to figure out whether or not he can be relied upon in the postseason. So you're not going to find that out by playing him every 3 days. So he needs to play every day. And if he rakes and he's great, just like he was in the minors after he fully got healthy, then you've made the right decision. If not, then you're in an odd spot where you got to now bring Verdugo back and hope that he's still hot. So it's one of those, and I don't know if there's anecdotal evidence on this. Empirical evidence. Maybe there's anecdotal evidence. I don't know if there's empirical evidence to say, yeah, a guy who's hot, who sits down, he's going to come back and be hot. Like, I doubt that that's the case, but I think that's what they're hoping for.
Well, I think there's a couple things at play here. First is this. I don't have the exact stats on this. All I have is my eyeballs sitting down watching virtually every Yankee game. Alex Verdugo's outs on this team, while he's been hot, are like double the outs. He is constantly that guy grounding into the double plays.
They're the frustrating outs.
Yes, they are, and I hate to use this fate made-up term, they feel like more impactful outs than some of the others because they can literally kill rallies. Also, you only have these 17 games left, 18 games left, to get Dominguez in that flow of playoff baseball because they waited so long to do this.
He has to play.
And maybe part of that was just Dominguez, they wanted to get him comfortable with that. Mm. But here's my biggest issue above everything else. I'm happy they're doing this. This lineup tonight is sexy. The date is September 10th. We were at MetLife Stadium on September 6th. I don't know.
Yes.
Do the math. Four days ago?
Yeah.
And the quote that day from Brian Cashman as we're getting set to have Mr. Mara on the show was, Alex Verdugo gives us the best chance to win. Yeah. That was 4 days ago.
What changed?
And not only is it Verdugo on the bench tonight, last night when they put both in the lineup, it was Jason Dominguez hitting sixth and Alex Verdugo hitting ninth. So why would you even make that comment on September 6th unless you were just being recklessly stubborn to what the fans were wanting?
Or you were just lying.
Hey, well, that's why.
Just answering a question to answer it.
But then to go back on it 4 days later? Like, the whole thing is, that's why I look at this and I say it's weird. I'm glad Dominguez is up here and I'm glad he's playing every day. I'm not ripping, and you're not ripping. I don't think any of us are ripping that decision the Yankees are making. But it's odd. It's odd that it's happening now. It's odd that Verdugo's hot when you're doing it. And it's especially odd, like Sean pointed out, that we are days away or days after being lectured from the general manager, hey, we're better off with this.
Don't question our method.
This is 3 days.
We believe in Verdugo.
What happened?
He's better.
And you're right. That's a great question, Dick. What happened over the 3 days in Chicago? A series where they didn't hit. They did win 2 out of 3. Verdugo went 2 for 9. He didn't do anything crazy. What the hell happened that make you completely flip-flop on that?
I don't think this is crazy because it's not one thing. We have 3 things now over the last month where Yankee fans screamed and yelled about, and ultimately now the Yankees have come to their senses a couple days after being stubborn against it.
Yeah.
One.
So they're saying, well, maybe they're right.
Right.
Let's take a look at this.
Let's do today, okay, the Verdugo
Dominguez
thing.
Are you okay with that as a Yankee fan?
That they lied to us?
That they hear you and they say, okay, let's take a look. You know what? Maybe they're right.
That's cool, but don't pretend that we weren't right. Okay, so this is one thing.
I know, but do you want to be right?
Yeah, you want to be right.
And then them be wrong.
Well, it'd be nice for a fan.
I'm asking is,
oh, you
is
want
okay?
them to be more competent
is
than
it,
us.
Yes.
You're right.
Is it okay that you're they're right. so wrong that they're listening to you?
You're right. They should know better. We shouldn't be pointing these out. You have this with Verdugo Dominguez. We were right. Clay Holmes is the closer.
Yeah.
We clearly were right.
Yeah, right.
And the other thing was, all of a sudden, Trevino got put in that platoon with Wells. The moment now they pulled back on that, I get it, less lefties.
Right.
Wells is taking charge, hits the big home run last night. He's the favorite for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
3 things fans with their own 2 eyes said, this shouldn't be happening.
Now, in fairness, okay, because I do want to be fair to the New York Yankees, they have been criticized a lot from myself and many others about their player development. It's been one of the big issues around the Yankees that Aaron Judge was virtually the only guy they have successfully developed over the last decade.
Can't say that right now.
Look around.
Right.
Look at Austin Wells, who right now in this moment, I had this confirmed because I don't live in Jersey, so I had to text a friend. Austin Wells is the betting favorite to win the American League Rookie of the Year.
Wow. Best catcher in New York.
Luis, look, I can't argue with that right now. I mean, Luis Torrens throws the most guys out at second base, if you want to go through
but
that.
But he's not raking.
No, he's not. Well, neither is Alvarez, unfortunately. Sure. But
I'm talking relative to Wells.
No, Austin Wells has been great. I mean, he deserves to now be the favorite for American League Rookie of the Year. Couser was a candidate, still is. Ibar is a candidate. Luis Gil is third right now.
Is he really?
Yes, because look at his overall numbers are very, very good.
True. I guess just because we're in it every day, you see the some of the downs, and you're just like, he lost it.
No,
he's still in it.
In fact, I was wrestling with this morning. Not that we have to get into the details on this. Maybe when I start hosting the Hensley Mullins podcast, I'll break it down. I think Luis Gil may be Rookie of the Year over Austin Wells. Just going through the numbers, but it's tough because you're comparing a pitcher to a catcher. Anyhow, who the hell cares? Here's my point. Two of the top three, not right now they don't. Mm. They care about winning. That's the thing about Yankee fans. They care about awards sometimes, but they don't care about that award right now. They care about winning. And so two of the top three Rookie of the Year oddsers, if you will, I just made up that word, are guys they're developing. Jason Dominguez is now up here, a guy you're developing. Anthony Volpe is your starting shortstop. I know he's had his ups and downs. Developing. So the Yankee player development is on a little bit of a hot streak right
now.
Yeah,
it is.
So while you're ripping Brian Cashman, rightfully so, for being so late to the party on some of these things, I know this is tough for you, Sean. You may have to give him a little bit of credit.
But they were pretty good.
I am giving him
maybe
credit.
The player development isn't as bad as you guys like to say.
Well, by the way, I got a question. Is Austin Wells of eligible for the PPI?
We're going through that again?
I'm just wondering.
Yes, I think he is.
He is?
Yes.
So he wins Rookie of the Year. Then forget the Dominguez thing.
Yeah, the Yankees, I guess, would get an extra pick after. I forget. Whatever. They get a draft pick.
It is. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But we had this conversation about Jason Dominguez.
Yes.
Last week. And nobody even thought about Austin Wells.
Well, because there's no manipulation going on.
Like, I know I don't care about the manipulation. I'm just talking about the fact that they could get the pick.
Yeah.
And now that Tiki says that, maybe it was never about the pick with Dominguez, because then why wouldn't they play in Austin Wells more?
Right.
If they care that much about the pick.
Yeah, yes. Well, I think they went into they went into the season thinking Austin Wells was going to be a catcher on this team and eventually take the job, which is exactly what he did. I mean, Austin Wells wasn't having a great year early on. You know how we all remember because Tiki and Sean drafted him in fantasy and cut him 3 weeks into the season because he wasn't hitting enough or playing enough.
That's precise. That's a good point.
I remember that very well.
Sorry.
But the Yankee development,
maybe
which has been...
Maybe we motivated you.
Yeah, that's what it is. The Yankee player development, which has been wildly criticized, and I'm just reacting to what we're seeing this year, as they lead the American League with the best record in the league right now at 83-61. Their player development may not be as bad as you guys have been describing.
Yeah. It's not. Clearly it's not.
Maybe not. Now, as far as this game and this series is concerned, the Yankees have put themselves in a spot with the Orioles continuing to be this wildly mediocre team. The Yankees have opened up a 2-game lead in the loss column. Now, they do have a 3-game series coming up in a couple of weeks. We're not that far away from it. The Yankees have to seal the deal and win this American League East. Like, there's no... We have now reached the point of return.
It's easy to say that, and I 100% agree with you, but it's this season... Not just for the Yankees and Mets, not for the local, just everything has been so weird and up and down and unpredictable. I can't say that they're going to or they have to. They should. But it's hard to almost guarantee in your mind that that's going to happen. Because I can't say that.
Well, you can't trust them because they haven't been consistent. But here's what the Yankees have done. And they reminded
you... But nobody has been consistent. That's my point.
Well, no, that's why they still have this lead over the Orioles. Because the Orioles have basically been a 500 team for 3 months. But you know what the Yankees have done? And they've done this incredibly well. And they did it again last night at Yankee Stadium in front of a smaller but raucous crowd, I thought, at Yankee Stadium. They continue to beat good teams. Mm. Like, they will struggle...
Yes.
Against bad teams to mediocre teams, and they've done that all season long, losing series that you glance at and say, how are you losing a series to the Texas Rangers? How are you losing a series to the Washington Nationals? How are you even losing a series to the very average St. Louis Cardinals? And now you play a Kansas City Royal team that, whether you respect them or not, they're on their way to making the postseason. They're going to be a playoff team. And the Yankees come out, and they made you a little nervous, but they score all those runs late, and they beat the Kansas City Royals. And that's what they've been doing all year long.
Yeah.
They beat good teams on an incredibly consistent basis. And you know what Sean told me?
Well, that's a good thing.
That's a great thing. You know what Morash told me?
What did he say?
And I was surprised by this. Last night's Yankee game. Okay? So for those who watched it, you know what I'm talking about. For those who didn't, imagine this. Sean told me last night, watching the Yankees rally back multiple times, that was the moment he was back in and believing this is a special season.
Card subject.
Can you just stay away? Can you just stay away?
Look, yesterday was a very...
You jinxed the Rangers.
Tiki, I'm not a jinx. Yesterday was an emotional day for me, and albeit I'm dealing with what I thought was going to be a football October, I watched Austin Wells hit that homer after Verdugo homered, and I said to myself, with the home run siren going off, oh my God, we may be back.
So you're saying it's out of the desperation after what happened to the Giants?
I want to acknowledge, if I was seeing a therapist and not Evan and Tiki right now, they might tell me, you sure this has nothing to do with your negativity on the Giants? But I watched that last night. It just gave me old school Yankee Stadium feels last night.
You know what I'm curious about then? Like, did that happen to other Yankee Giant fans yesterday? Like, did the Yankee Giant fan, I can't even say the Giant Met fan, because the Mets have been rolling for a while now.
Right.
A little bit different.
They've been fun and exciting, and you've been engaged with them for 2 months.
Yeah, the Yankees have been clunky, and I don't think last night's game changes anything. I mean, the Mets won a game after finally losing a game, but I don't think any vibes changed. Did the Yankee Giant fan, after such a brutal loss on Sunday, win a game against the Royals? Dominguez is here. You got to throw that in there. That's a factor, too.
Dude, that's one of the top five wins of the year.
Top five win of the year?
Yes. Last night, I know everybody's paying attention
to the Giants. No, it's definitely the Giants, yeah. The Giants got you to do that.
Dude, that is two comebacks, playoff team, the way the crowd sounded, and it wasn't even a big crowd.
Desperation.
The Wells homer, the pump, the Dominguez here.
You're desperate.
Last night was special.
Yeah, special because the Giants ended your season one weekend.
He can't deal with negativity, Sean.
Is that what it is?
He'd watch, like, grass grow at this point if it's positive. He's in our group chat. Like, he's just bringing up all positive things with the Yankees. We're all watching the games and stuff like that.
But is that a normal thing amongst Yankee Giant fans? Oh, do you think, that the Yankee Giant fan had, like, this Renaissance Monday? Like, A, they were inspired by the Jets losing because Giant fans are hateful, you know, creatures. And they're pumped about the Yankee winning. It's like, oh, my God, this is even better than it actually is because I'm so depressed about the fact that the New York Giants were so pathetic.
I think it's a lot of that.
You think I'm right?
It has to be a lot of that because think how despondent the Giant fan was. Yeah. And if you also happen to be a Yankee fan, you don't even want to hear about the Yankees. You just, the Giant season's over. We stink. Daniel Jones is terrible. Got to fire the staff. Hard knocks. Blah 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 blah. Yada yada yada. It's only one game, but whatever. This is how they felt. That all of a sudden, the Yankees are up by two. It just feels
we're back.
We're back. I'm back. I have something to cheer for. It's amazing.
I totally get that.
I think it's definitely that.
I'm not saying
it is. It's 100% that.
I'm not looking down on you for it, Sean.
I know that's Sean. That is definitely Sean.
And maybe a lot of other Giant Yankee fans.
Yeah. And
we're around you every day. We know what. Yeah, your chain.
I wear it. I'm an irrational freak when it comes to my teams. There's magic in the air in the Bronx. That's all.
Magic in the air in the Bronx. Interesting. We'll come right back. We'll get to your phone calls. The Mets, the Yankees, the Giants, and the Jets all on the table on this beautiful Tuesday. Plus, I had a conversation this morning with a young person, my son, and it taught me a lot about the future of the New York Jets, New York Giants rivalry in the state and cities that we live in. I'll share it with you coming up.